Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, where you will find the perfect blend of food, fun, and cooking knowledge. I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. Welcome to the number one food podcast in the country. We're recording on site at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive, and I get to eat it. Here's a humble request to give us a follow on Instagram at Walk and Talk Show. Please and thank you. I am into quality made smoked fish dips and spreads. I know you are too. Check out our friends over at Crab Island Seafood Company. Visit them at crabislandseafooddip.com to order yours today. Here in studio, we have the chef, Carl Riding, co-owner of, actually, Crab Island Seafood Company. He's going to be cooking up two dishes after the show today. Be sure to follow us on socials to check out the photography and film work from today's production. Exciting announcement from Metro. So are you ready to transform your restaurant's kitchen? Metro is thrilled to introduce a brand new way to nominate your favorite eatery for the 2025 Kitchen Storage Makeover. Now with a whopping $100,000 value. I'll be posting a detailed video to get into those details on Instagram. Check it out. Today, our featured guest is Chef Opal Pillard. She's a true culinary superstar with an incredible journey that's taken her from Los Angeles to being a guest chef at the White House and all the way to celebrity chef status. She's a 2-time Food Network Chopped champion, a certified EC, a culinary educator par excellence. We're thrilled to have Chef Opal on the show today to share her remarkable story and talk about her upcoming cooking competition at the U.S. Culinary Open next month. But first, let's find out what's on today's menu. Oh man, it's just a sweet spot. I don't know what to tell you guys. Chef Carl, welcome back to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Man, I tell you what, these are exciting times, my friend.
Absolutely.
Very exciting. There's so many new things happening. There's new talent coming in to Walk and Talk in general, Walk and Talk Media at large. Man, I can't wait to get into that as the weeks progress. What are you cooking today, dude? What do you got?
Well, first I have a cornbread pancake with our Mexican street corn crab dip on top and a tequila marinated flank steak. And then the second one is a beer battered cod stuffed with our spinach artichoke crab dip and then risotto fries and a remoulade.
So Crab Island Seafood. Mm-hmm. So I know you guys, right? You and Tom, chefs, you guys do it to, well, one chef and, you know, and a super, super awesome kitchen guy, right?
My assistant.
Your assistant. We're all laughing at each other. Explain to the audience why Crab Island Seafood is a step up above what you're going to get at the grocery store.
Well, I think first and foremost, it's quality ingredients. And not only that, it's very different from what you're going to actually find at the grocery store. And on top of that, you can actually cook with these. They're very versatile. They're good on their own. And it's just a plain good dip.
So I know that you're using loins. You're using cream cheese. Mm-hmm. You're going above and beyond. And it's still priced pretty competitively, which is shocking.
Me too, especially the way prices are going these days. We're still able to get a very good price point for everything.
You are being carried at a pretty large distributor. Who mm-hmm. is it?
At Cheney Brothers International. Proud to be there.
If somebody's looking to find out more about you, what's your Instagram?
Crab Island Seafood Dips. So it's a flank steak, tequila marinated. So I took, obviously, tequila, some garlic, onions, smoked paprika. I blended it all up and actually let it sit in that for 2 days. So it's going to be good and juicy.
Which dish did we pick for this? What plate? It's one of the new DigiPlates from Rack? Oh, I love it. Okay, excellent. All right. Well, look, let's do this. Without further ado, I'd like to bring Chef Opal onto the show. Chef, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Man, I'm so excited. We've been talking, you and I, for, I don't know, what, 2 months now? Trying to get to get this booked.
Yeah, it's been busy. I'm glad I was able to get on.
I'm glad that Nick and Polly sent your information over. I'm super, super stoked about having you on today and to talk about your story.
Absolutely.
Let's start with your military career. You're a retired Air Force veteran, 20 years, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I spent a little over 20 years in the Air Force.
How did the Air Force influence you getting into the kitchen?
The Air Force influenced very much largely. When you think about the kitchen, we think about the brigade system, if you want to take it all the way back. And we're talking about the technical cooking aspect of, you know, French culinary. So there's a lot of militant aspects that go into the operation day to day. As many know that work in any type of restaurant operation or whatever you may do, everything has to be methodical. And that really helped me quite a bit with being able to have the mental fortitude, have the determination and the strength and so forth to be able to take on that portion of my career when I was able to take on that portion of a career. You know, I know we'll talk and get more into it because I was not always a chef starting out. That was really great to be able to have that history when I was able to get into that.
What was your detail when you were there?
So when I started off in the Air Force, believe it or not, I left Los Angeles. I needed to get out as quickly as I could. You know, I grew up in the inner cities. I wanted something better for myself. Didn't want to become a statistic, talk to some recruiters. I actually had a job set out for food service or some kind of administrative job. The job ended up getting canceled and I still needed to leave on time for boot camp. My recruiter, as most recruiters did, talked me into taking a job called Security Forces with the intel that I could possibly retrain at some point. Security forces, for many that if you don't know, for the Air Force, security police, military police, as well as combat is involved with that. So that's what I got into and what I did. And I stuck with it and I'm thankful for it. I met great people. I did things that I never thought I could possibly do. I did that for almost 14 years before I jumped into the chef world, which some great opportunities were offered to me after I got back from a deployment to Afghanistan. So, you know, much of what I went through kind of pretty much set me forth on the path to be able to take on any challenge or anything I aspired for or dreamed of. And all that I went through set me up for a better path to be able to be more successful when it came about.
How did going from the military to the food network, like, isn't that like a culture shock? Like to go from Afghanistan to, you know, a studio?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was some time. It wasn't just an overnight thing. That was about a nine-year span in between that. So, you know, through that time, I was cooking. When I actually got into a job, started applying for a position in 2017, I was allotted to apply to be a private chef, which is called enlisted aide in the military for generals. So I went through quite a bit of training prior to. They sent us to the Culinary Institute of America to do pro chef courses. I was already studying on my own with my own degree in hospitality through the American Military University. At some point when I was an instructor for an advanced culinary program, I got certified through the American Culinary Federation and became a CEC, Certified Executive Chef. So I had all these things lined up prior to going on to Chopped, which I think was more of a push for me to be able to be accepted because I had that well-rounded background. So for me, it was more of years spent studying, years spent training, years spent learning as much as I could. Again, military background, that when I was able to go on the Food Network, yeah, it was a shock, of course, being on TV and going through cooking with all the cameras in your face and the high tempo. But I really, really do attribute a lot of the work that I had to put in, people that helped me get there, and a lot of the mentorship that I received prior to getting there that helped me get through it.
When you're deployed and you're away and you're going to be gone for a while, I presume that you think it's endless. It's not something that you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. When you do fast forward from being deployed 9 years to Food Network, you still don't forget. That's kind of built into your psyche, your persona. It's built into you. It's who you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
So to go from 130 degree temps to cameras in your face, that's got to be like in your head. At some point, you had to just go, how did I get here? And this is so amazing.
Yes. And it was so fast paced through the day when I did compete, you know, on the first show and then going to the second show. But by the end of the first show, when I got that, you know, statement from Ted, when he said, hey, you're the CHOP champion, I couldn't believe it. Everything rushed over for me because it wasn't just all military. It was, you know, my background, where I came from, where a lot of people didn't make it, to doing what I could to do better for myself, my life and my career in the military, to all the things that I had to go through, be it, you know, I wanted to serve my country. So it's not just that I was just put through it, but you go through things even when you want to be a part of it and you want to serve your country. But it was an emotional moment for me because I couldn't believe that all the things that I aspired for and dreamed of were unveiling at that moment. And I thought about those days in the desert when it was hot and cold. Believe it or not, where I was, it snowed, and being out on foot patrols and doing convoys when I didn't think that I was going to, you know, you don't know if you're going to make it back to your destination. And there's constant warfare going on and going through, you know, different types of terrorist attacks and stuff that were happening to the soldiers and Marines and airmen and sailors, everybody that was there. Everything that we went through, it kind of just unfolded and explains why whoever has watched the show or will in the future, I was very emotional because I could not believe that where I came from and where I made it to. So it was a lot of work, a lot of faith and belief that something else was out there for me in the end.
Well, without getting mushy, I sincerely appreciate your story and appreciate your service and everyone else as well, for that matter. It's a proud thing.
Thank you.
So we've had other Food Network winners and contestants on the show. And I always ask the same question, which is, you go on, you compete, you win. How did that change your life?
Oh my gosh, it changed it drastically. In the better way, the best way possible. You know, for me, when it happened, the show was actually taped in the fall of 2022 and then aired around spring of 2023. So when all this was happening, there was a lot of media coverage that went on with it. It was my last year in the military. I was getting at 20 years. I did a little over 20 or 6 months I served. And that set the par and set the path for me with building my own career. Leaving, I had already decided to, you know, create my own LLC for consulting and speaking engagements that I do and partnerships, collaborations and so forth. But that was just the epitome of the path that sparked for me, was creating a lot of good opportunities that were set forth for me prior to even leaving. So it did very well. I will say that, you know, CHOPS did create that path for me that I'm super thankful for and will always be.
You'll be competing in the prestigious U.S. Culinary Open at the NAFM show in Atlanta this February. You know, with your background, I can't imagine. I mean, you must have nerves of steel just coming from where you've come from. But you're still going to be competing against Michelin, Beard, and other Food Network winners. How does that fly with you?
Yeah, listen, you know, I do have a face that I put on that a lot of people think that I'm not nervous. I'm always nervous. There's nerves going into everything that I do, but I try to go in with the confidence that I'm going to make it through no matter what. You know, competing against these other levels and areas of the culinary field, I think it's an awesome opportunity. It's unique in the fact that you talk about the Michelin starred chefs that are going into this, James Beard chefs. There's also culinary instructors that work at prestigious colleges around America. These chefs here, you know, they work with different businesses, which is great. They may have the doors open for different kitchens that they can practice in and so forth, but it's a little different for me. I've been working with a lot of different businesses within my area since I don't have a brick and mortar. Fountainhead Country Club has opened their doors. Chef Todd Reynolds, who's also a CEC, was very generous to open the kitchen for us to practice in here soon. Our Time Kitchen in Baltimore, Maryland, Chef Katina Smith, that, you know, I'm connected through Map and Pack, which is a nonprofit for women chefs. So there's been chefs that have been open to help me out. I don't work with other younger chefs. You know, you got to have a Comey chef that's between the ages of 18 and 25. So I actually had tryouts for that and was able to pick a person that is thankfully going to go for the ride with me, Chef Isabella. So I'm thankful for that 21-year-old young chef who's aspiring for more and wants to learn more. So it's great. I get to train someone along the way, and we're competing at a level that a lot of people don't get to do with these many different types of chefs on this type of platform. So I think it's an amazing opportunity.
So you mentioned about how other chefs in the competition, you know, they have their brick and mortar and they get to, you know, train on a regular basis. How are you training? Mm-hmm. How often?
It's been a lot of me doing a lot of the building process. I have a young chef that's kind of in the basics, and I'm going to be teaching her advanced level. The last month and a half here, we'll be building, ramping up more 2 to 3 times a week within the kitchens. I had some trouble just getting into a kitchen to get the person in to help us out with doing that, but we're finally on a good path. It's going to be different for every single chef. But I have a plan, a training plan for this person, so they're able to get through it as smoothly and seamlessly as possible, learn as much as they can. This is not new for me, by the way. You know, I used to train chefs in a 6-week program when I was an instructor in the military, where they had to be up to par for their positions working at the White House or the Pentagon or for generals. And this program was as equivalent to a 2-year program for a culinary school that, you know, chef would go to on the outside. So, you know, I feel confident with my background, especially as an instructor and also, you know, a certified culinary educator on top of the CEC certs that I have. I will have the ability to actually teach this upcoming chef in a different way than others may have the ability to. So it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. You know, we're starting up here in the next week with other face-to-face training. You know, we've been doing meetings, brainstorming, things like that, kind of getting on the same page with everything coming up. So it's been a building process, but it's been pretty cool.
Well, mentorship is a huge task to take on. I've done that. So my background is 30 years of, you know, the food service distribution and sales. Mm-hmm. I come from the business as well on the restaurant side, but I've been working with chefs mm-hmm. for quite a number of years. And in that period of time, I've mentored quite a few people, and it takes a lot out of you when you do that, you know, mentally, emotionally. It's great when your mentee, you know, picks up and actually does the right thing and becomes successful. And man, I tell you, it's a kick in the belly when it goes the other way, or you take them under your wing and then they split or whatever. It's an anchor, not a cool thing at all. But with that said, as a passionate educator, your story has the ability to empower. Do you actively look for mentorship situations or scenarios?
Always. You know, if the opportunity comes, like I said, when this was presented to me, when I applied for this competition, knowing what it involved and knowing the harder process I probably have to go through to be able to do it, I wanted that challenge because I believe that, you know, it is our job as chefs in the industry to continue to teach, to continue to develop the next generation of chefs. We're not going to do this forever. And there is a level of professional cooking that many of us want to continue on showcasing and setting that standard and setting the bar for future chefs, that it's our job to continue to train in any way that we can, whether you own a restaurant, whether you own a cooking school, whether wherever you work in a, you know, or you work in a restaurant per se in general, and your coworkers that you're working with, the training should always be happening. So this opportunity was great. I work with the American Culinary Federation. I'm also an evaluator with them. So, you know, when I have the ability to go evaluate chefs in different areas of America, I'll do that as well. If I have, I still have prior coworkers that are military chefs that still contact me for advice, working locally with other businesses, be it if there's any consulting that I do, whatever I can do to kind of continue on that process. I love doing it.
What would you say to an aspiring cook? I don't want to say chef because, you know, some people just get into it because that's the only thing available. But what would you say to that person in terms of advice, how they can actually make picking up, you know, shifts as a line cook into an actual culinary dream?
Yeah, I would just tell people to find their niche. You hear stories all the time where people are doing a job that, you know, they don't feel that it's right for them. I would tell them to not give up, continue to search for what they truly want out of it. You know, for instance, there's chefs that work in businesses and different type of culinary businesses that say, well, I'm not making the food that I love. I'm not making what I want to make. I'm not doing actually what I want to do. Well, find a place where someone actually gives you the chance to do that. And it's not necessarily going to happen overnight. You have to be open to the process. So in reference to that, it took me a very long time to build my career, be it the path that I took. I joined the military, of course, so it was a little different. But even in service to this country, I found a way to become a chef. And that's not something that's heard of every day. So I continue to talk to people that opened the doors for me and helped me, different leaders, supervisors, stuff like that, that tried to find a way to get me in to where I wanted to be. And if I wasn't happy in the position I was in, or if I wasn't necessarily doing something that I felt was right for me, or I felt that there was something else out there for me, I had to push for it. So just keep advocating for yourself and find what's right for you. And, you know, if it's not something that's right for you in the area of cooking and you still want to be a part of the hospitality industry, find an area that's right for you in that way. We all have something to contribute.
You know, I always like to say that the chefs are kind of like the fighter pilots of, you know, of the establishment, right?
Yeah.
and I'm just bringing that up because it's apropos to, you know, your Air Force and chef and all that. Yeah. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you don't want to, you want to be the top dog always. Like every line cook and sous chef and underling chef that I have ever met in my life, when the exec isn't around and you go in and you're like, you know, hey, is chef in? And they're like, well, he's not here, but, you know, I can help you. And then they want to just take the reins and you can see it in their eyes. And I'm like, all right, you know, mm-hmm. one day this person is going to actually, you know, he or she is going to amount to something. You've had the opportunity to travel around the world and experience all sorts of diverse food cultures.
Mm-hmm.
How have those experiences shaped your own culinary style and approach?
Oh my gosh, they were so eye-opening for me. I mean, first off, like, I grew up in Los Angeles, so there's so much culture there already. And I love that you could go to Chinatown or you could go to different areas and experience food. There's nothing like going to the place of origin. So I got a chance to live in South Korea twice. I lived in Okinawa, Japan for 4 years. It is so different. Immersing yourself within the culture, within the country in itself, and you learn even more. There's nothing wrong with food being Americanized, but there's also a different outlook when you go to the country itself and see the way that people actually cook the food or different ingredients they're able to get their hands on that we're not able to get necessarily imported into our country sometimes, or it may be more expensive. So there's so much at the fingertips that you have when you live in a different country. I just love taking advantage of that the best that I could, traveling. I was able to travel through Europe, France, Spain, you know, Italy, so many different places I was able to learn from. I had my first bite of fresh pasta when I visited Italy, and it was like no other experience I could ever have. It's hard to eat packaged pasta now when you learn how to make it as well. So yeah, I mean, it was just a super great opportunity. I feel super blessed that I was able to live that experience. Again, I did that while serving in the military. I still had to adhere to military life, and it was tough, but, you know, my days off or any time extra that I had, I wanted to learn as much as possible so that I'd be ready when it was time for me to actually become a chef, because I always believed that I would get that chance.
I was very fortunate as a child to make fresh pasta with my grandmother. My background is Italian. My family's Italian, you know, both sides going back. So I have that experience it was so awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, just from scratch, doing all that, and mm-hmm. great, great memories. Chef, with your unique background and your military service and your culinary training and being on shows like Chopped, when you compete next month at the U.S. Culinary Open, what do you think your odds are to take this thing?
I think I have just as much of a chance as any other person there. I'm not an arrogant person. I'm not going to sit here and say that I got it completely. I think that we all have a chance. I just am just thankful to be a part of it. If we go in here and we win this competition, I'm just going to be very proud of the whole process of getting there. Everything. Just from everything we talked about so far, just in life. Just being able to be presented in this way and in this platform and showing my style of cooking, showing the history of what I've been able to accomplish throughout and being in the same realm, competition area of all these other chefs. I'm just thankful for it. I'm happy just to be a part of it.
Was it Teddy Roosevelt that said, you know, speak quietly and walk with a big stick? I think it was Teddy, right? I think it was. Pretty sure it was. So with that said, I think that's you right now. You know, I've spoken with a couple of the handful of the other competitors. Everybody has an edge. Everybody has some sort of a, you know, secret power. But you have like a multitude of secret powers of these, you know. So I'm really excited to see what's going to happen there at the event. You know, obviously we're going to be there and the whole crew is going to be there too. So John's going to be doing, you know, food photography. The whole video crew is going to be there. It's going to be super, super entertaining and awesome. I can't wait to see like you and the rest of the gang out there just doing what you do best.
Yeah, me too. I mean, there's just some really great chefs that are going to be out there. And it's an honor to cook alongside anyone. I don't look at anyone as an enemy. We're all competitors, right? We're all chefs. But at the end of the day, we all have something to give to this. Having the ability in our own country to be able to have a competition like this, it's not always showcased. It's so great. So, and being a part of the first one is just a really great feat to be a part of. So I totally look forward to it. I look forward to putting my food out there and the assistance that I'm getting from the chef that's on along the way going with me through this process. Super thankful for her for being a part of it. And I look forward to seeing everybody else's food and what they have to offer. So it's going to be a fun time.
What is your favorite cuisine? This is the thing. These are silly questions, but they're great questions. What do you love to cook? But then really, what do you love to eat?
So that's a really hard question for me. A lot of people do ask me that because I'm very versatile in the food that I eat. I love a lot of different Asian foods. I would say that's my top number one. Again, getting 4 years of living in Japan, you'll always see me at some point throughout the month eating some type of Japanese food or making it. I love Korean food. I incorporate those flavors into my cuisine. I love Indian food. You'll see me making curries throughout the year. You know, French techniques are always involved in a lot of different cooking styles that I have because that was the forefront of what I was trained with. And it works out with other food that I actually make or cuisines that I make. But I'm all over the place. I will say, you know, if I want a good taco, I'm eating a taco. I mean, I'm from California. So, you know, that's going to happen at some point. I'm always searching for some good Mexican food.
Well, let me pose it a different way. It's Saturday night. You're home, nothing going on. It's going to be a Netflix night. Your fridge is full, has everything in it. What are you going to make?
I'm probably going to make some pasta, most likely.
And you're awesome. You're just saying all the right stuff to me. You're telling me all the right things because I'm coming over.
It's comfort food. You can eat it all year, right? So there's so many different ways to make pasta, so many different versions of it, you know? So that's really something that I do continuously make in my home, and I love it.
What is next for Chef Opal?
Oh gosh, what is next for me? So firstly, chefopal.com, if you check that out, you'll see a lot of the happenings of media engagements that I'll be a part of. Coming up after the U.S. Culinary Open, I'll be involved with MAP Impact. Again, that is a nonprofit for women chefs here and around the world. And I'll be at their five-year conference in Las Vegas at the Wynn. Myself and many other prestigious chefs that you will see on their site, Chef Kat Cora, Chef Tiffany Deary, so many, many prominent chefs that'll be there within the industry promoting women chefs and the successes of our journeys. I'll be speaking there. I'm delving into, within the next 2 years, building my own cooking school. I've been kind of silent about my brick and mortar that I'm starting up. Location not set yet. It'll be somewhere here on the East Coast. I do live near DC, so you know, just look forward to that. It'll have pop-up areas as well for other chefs to come in and, you know, collaborate with different dinners. But I'm opening a school that'll be for everyone, not collegiate level, somewhere where you can learn, you know, something simple for yourself, your family, and just have a good time. So that's something that I'm working on right now. And the sky is the limit. I am all over the place and I just can't wait for what's next. And you may see me on another cooking show here in the near future, but just working diligently on my career and continuing on. And I'm just thankful for every moment of this journey.
Side story, 1980s, I don't know, 82, 83, 84, something like that. A good friend of mine, his name is Richard Gallagher. He's a Japanese-American kid. My family, Italian. His family, he's living with his grandparents, actually, Japanese. We were really good friends. And what would end up happening is my mother would cook, you know, from scratch, Italian. And the grandmother would cook Japanese food from scratch. And we would trade. It was an amazing experience. And where we lived, it was kind of like this almost rural, but it wasn't. It was like on the cusp of rural. So there was like a lot of farms and cattle and, you know, orange groves and stuff. Super amazing to have that as an experience. And when, you know, when you're talking about going overseas and all that stuff, I didn't get to do the overseas thing in that capacity, but I have a few of these nuggets where I was getting authentic cooking, you know, from the people of origin.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's the best part. I think, you know, with a lot of chefs, I'll say me mainly, when I make any type of cuisine from another country of origin per se, I want to take someone there, whether they can go, you know, in person or they never get to go. Taking you there is that experience through the food. And that sounds just exactly what you were able to experience in life. And I think that's phenomenal when a cook, a chef, whoever, we all have the ability to give someone that experience of, you know, where we come from or what we have experienced in life. And I think that's the best part about it. And that's what I truly love doing that with my own food, because everyone doesn't get the chance to travel. So someone can take you there is super special.
Well, I have to tell you this. Speaking of travel and experiences, the best way to experience Walk and Talk Media is actually to be here in studio and to cook. At some point, I want to figure out a way to get you here. And I would love to do some sort of fresh pasta, some Italian dish. And, you know, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, it'll be filmed and photography. It'll be a great experience. But I really... You have my gears are just in gear, and yeah, I want to make that happen if you're up for it.
That is perfect. I would love to, and we'll work that process for the near future.
Excellent. All right, man, I tell you, that was awesome, Chef Carl. You're coming up, buddy. You're going to be cooking.
Yep, I'm ready.
I am stoked. I am so stoked. Chef Opal, I really appreciate you coming on the program today. You're amazing. Good luck on this competition. We will see you in person at the end of February. What is it, the 26th to the 28th?
Yes, that's correct.
Excellent. What's your website?
It is chefopal.com. And you can also follow me on Instagram at chef_opal_.
I'll make sure to put that in the show notes in the description. Chef, thank you kindly. Chefs here in studio, thank you all kindly, and we are out.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.